Morning, we'll read the Word of God together. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings and chapter number 17. 1 Kings, please, and chapter number 17 in the Word of God. And we'll do our best to bring what the Lord has laid on our heart for this morning. You're going to be very fortunate this morning because what started out to be one message has turned into two, so that'll really be a blessing to you. And if the Lord would help me so I can divide it up, you know, where it needs to be, and then pick back up tonight, I think we can do that. It'll be a help and a blessing, I know, to us in more ways than one, okay? Now, I hope that my drinking that water back there before the service is not offensive to you, because my doctor told me I need to drink two glasses of water before I start preaching, but my insides tells me I can only hold one glass of water. And so I want to do that. Now, believe it or not, drinking water will raise low blood pressure. I never dreamed of that. I wouldn't have thought of that until I was in the hospital, and they tested it on me, and it worked. It'll, if your blood pressure is low and you drink water, it'll raise it up. Now, somebody said, how does that do that? Don't ask me. God made my body, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made, and I have no earthly idea how he accomplished that, but he did. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8. And the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that is, unto Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. He didn't fuss. He didn't complain. He didn't argue with the Lord. The Lord said, you go to that furnace of affliction. He just got up and headed in that direction. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, notice this now, it's not a widow, it's the widow. The widow. The widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and the grace of God in it. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege of preaching thy word. I pray now that you'll bless every heart that's here, save sinners. I pray you'll revive the church. I pray for power, for energy, for unction, for the presence of the Spirit of God in our church, to magnify the Lord Jesus to every heart. Do a great work now, Lord, that will glorify your name, conquer the devil and his ways in every soul. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to overcome the troubles and the trials of life and rejoice in what Christ has done for us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I never did turn that thing on, did it, Brother Steve? I got it on now. I hope I got it on. All right. I want to take these verses this morning, if I may, and preach just simply. I've titled the message, and like I said, the title doesn't really amount to a whole lot. And preach a little while on Elijah meets the widow. Elijah has left the brook Cherith. He's been there, and the Lord has sustained him by the water from the brook and by the ravens that flew over morning and night with bread and with flesh. And you know, I'd like to say the Lord would have had no problem in continuing that water to flow in that brook, nor to keep those ravens flying overhead. But the Lord's ways are not our ways. And the Lord meets the needs of different people in various ways, and sometimes in strange ways, ways that we don't understand. And many times we'll see a passage of Scripture like this, and we'll look at it and think, well, the Lord is taking care of Elijah, because he told Elijah, said, I've commanded a widow woman there in Zarephath to sustain thee. And in reading that, we'll get the idea that Elijah is the one being blessed. But I think we're going to find out that Elijah is not the only one that found the blessings of the Lord in this passage of Scripture. Let me simply begin by saying that Elijah finally arrives at Zarephath. And of course, I mentioned to you how that word Zarephath means God's furnace of affliction. And upon his arrival, he finds the widow that God has commanded to sustain him in the gate of the city. And she's gathering sticks. In fact, she wants two of them. She's going to build a fire, and her and her son may eat the final crumb of bread in the house, and then they plan to die. And the reason being is that there's only a little oil that's left in the cruse, and there's just a small amount of meal in the barrel. And when that oil is gone and that meal is gone, that widow woman has enough understanding to realize that her life is in jeopardy. And there's nothing left to eat in the house, and she has no money to buy. Besides that, the land is in a famine, and food and water both are very scarce in those days. And yet God has commanded this woman to sustain him, and all she has when he gets there is enough meal and enough oil to make one cake for her, one for her son, and they're going to die, and there's nothing at all for Elijah. And yet Elijah tells her to go fetch him a little water. And while she's on the way for that water, he said, hey, by the way, while you're gone, said, bring me a little cake, a little morsel of cake in your hand. And the woman makes a confession to him. She said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, said, I have not but a little oil in a cruse and a little meal in a barrel. Said, I'm gathering these sticks that me and my son can eat them and die. And the Lord, and Elijah said, fear not. Just go on and do as you're planning on doing. Only first, bring me the water and bring me the cake in your hand, and then make one for you and your son. For as the Lord God of Israel liveth, he has made this commandment that the cruse of oil shall not fail, neither the barrel in the meal in the barrel shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon this earth. Now, I want you to notice something about this widow, because it's very important. Her attitude does not at all appear to be one who has just heard from God and been given a commandment to sustain this prophet. The Bible said that the Lord said that I've commanded that widow woman to sustain thee. And yet when Elijah gets there, there is absolutely nothing that would prove to me that she has that kind of understanding, that it's her responsibility to supply this prophet's need for the Lord only knows how long. She doesn't seem to have any understanding about that at all, because she doesn't say gladly, I'm going to do it gladly. I know why you're here. I know why you're here, and I'm happy. Thank God for it all. I'm rejoicing in it. I'm going to have a great time. You're here because the Lord sent you here, and he sent you here that I can sustain you for all these days. And if I sustain you, surely the Lord's going to feed me and my boy both. She didn't look at it that way, and she didn't have that attitude at all. Her attitude was that all I've got is a little meal and a little oil, and I'm going to make a couple of cakes, and me and my boy are going to eat them, and we're going to die, and that is going to be the end of the line. And so her attitude certainly doesn't appear to me that she's got a full understanding of what God is going to do or getting ready to do in her life. You know, I want to say to you this morning on that piece of thought right there, that we don't always understand what God's getting ready to do in our life. I'm telling you that it may appear to you and I, from the circumstances that we're in, that we've just about taken our last step. We've just about gone as far as we can go. And things are about to come to an abrupt end. But I'm going to tell you, we got to stop and consider that the Lord is still on the throne. And God is still taking care of His children. And God is getting ready to prove to this widow woman that is living without the faith and the understanding that she needs to have, that God is not only going to take care of that prophet He sent down there, but God's going to take care of her and her household as well. Now, here's the prophet, the prophet of God. He has promised her promised her right in front of her eyes, and yet there appears on her part to be no faith at all that he can provide through her what he has promised. In other words, what I'm saying is, I can't see one ounce of faith in this woman. Here, and the Lord speaks of her in the New Testament. He said, in the days of the famine, during the days of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel. But God sent Elijah to none save that widow that was at Zarephath. And I understand why. I used to wonder why. I now know why. I always believed this woman to be a woman of great faith. But as I studied this out, I found she wasn't a woman of great faith at all. In fact, I doubt that this woman had any faith. But Elijah had been sent there by the grace of God, not only that he might be sustained, the family might be fed, but that God may wind up with this woman in producing her, giving her grace to produce faith in her life to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. In plain words, what I'm telling you is that God sent Elijah to the house of a lost woman to sustain him all of those days. When she gets there, when he gets there, she doesn't realize what God's going to do. She has no faith whatsoever to believe God, but yet she does what the prophet tells her to do. I'm going to say something to you this morning. I'm going to say, people are not going to heaven unless they listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Brother, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I believe with all my heart that God's still chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save people, and it takes the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It is still the power of God unto salvation, friend. And not only to that Jew over yonder, but it might be to him first, but it's also to the Gentile, which is you and I. Thank God for the gospel, and thank God for preaching. You're looking at a man. I'm a preacher, and I'm not boasting in me, but I am boasting in the office. Amen. I'm boasting in the office. God still has chosen to save people by hearing the gospel as it leaves the heart and the lips of a man of God, is anointed by the Holy Ghost on the way out, falls on the hearts of unbelievers, and God fertilizes that word until they're born again into the family of God. Say amen right there. That's right. That is exactly right. Now, let me go on if I may. There appears on her part to be no faith at all, and that he can provide for her, like he says. Now, this great miracle that God is about to provide, seemingly, is intended for the widow and not Elijah. In this great iron furnace, the widow is about to see great and mighty things that she has never perceived before. If I can say it like this, God sent Elijah down to that iron furnace, to that furnace of fire, but it wasn't there for Elijah's sake. Friend, when God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, he didn't ask a question about it. He just got up and went to the brook Cherith. And when God told him to get up and go to Zarephath, he didn't ask any questions about it. He just got up and went to Zarephath, not knowing what awaited him there. Hey, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we got to obey God and go when we don't know what's going to await us there. But we got to have an understanding and realize that if God calls us there and sends us there, that God's been there before we ever get there, and he's got a reason for us going there. And it may not always be to bless us. It may be that we might need to be a blessing to somebody else that's already there. I'm telling you, that woman had no faith whatsoever. But I'm telling you, Elijah is not the one that needed the iron furnace. He's already proven he's a man of great faith. He believed God. He minded the Lord. He's already went to two places God told him to do. He stayed in one place as long as God told him to stay. He went to the other place not knowing how long he was going to have to stay, but he went there. Amen. And stayed there. But the problem is that woman. Now, I want to look at Elijah's part, if I can. I'm going to look a great deal at Elijah this morning. Then tonight, if the Lord helping me, I'm going to look a little bit about this widow. But I want to look, first of all, at the comfort that Elijah enjoys at Zarephath. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I'm talking about right there in the iron furnace, right there in Zarephath, right under Ahab's nose. Right under Jezebel's nose, in a little simple family setting. And by the way, I'm glad God blesses ordinary people. Brother, you don't have to be a millionaire to be blessed from God. Thank God I was a little country boy and had absolutely nothing. I had nothing, just a little country boy. Raised in a house, like I said, didn't have running water, didn't have air conditioning, amen. I'm just telling you, just a poor man's house. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God still saves just poor people. In fact, the Bible said in the days of Christ that the poor gladly received him. Oh, and I'm telling you, a lot of folks got a lot of money that won't receive him. They're depending on that money rather than depending on God. There may be folks in here today, you're trusting your money more than you're trusting God. And I'm going to tell you, what you need to do is put your confidence in God, and God will see you through this thing in your life. Your money will fail you. I'm telling you, money will fail, and friends will fail, but God will never fail you. Amen. Some book you read from some writer, he might fail you. But I'm telling you, that book right there will never fail you. Amen. Thank God for it. But old Elijah gets to that furnace, and really it's a place of comfort for him. Now somebody said, "Preacher, I don't understand what you mean." Well, a man couldn't ask to be treated much better and shown more kindness than what Elijah was. Say, hey, men, can I ask you this? And this might be in a joking type manner, but can I ask you this? Can it get any better? Well, all you got to do is lay in a hammock and say, "Glass of water. Bring me a cake. I think I need a little more water. Bring me supper time. Bring me another cake." I'm going to tell you, hey, he's living the life of Riley. He knows God's going to take care of him. Brother, he's living a life of comfort. But hey, the God of all comfort has sent him down there. Now, I tell you, he's living in a life of comfort. It's that poor widow woman that's got the problem, not Elijah. Elijah's living there in great comfort, right in that furnace of affliction. He is there in the midst of it, and yet he's finding great comfort in the midst of that furnace of affliction. May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, as a child of God, friend, we can have the comfort of God while we're living right in the midst of the furnace of affliction. In fact, He is the God of all comfort. And I'm telling you, come on now, amen. We can have problems and troubles and heartache and be afflicted on every hand, but I'm telling you, God knows how to comfort His children right in the midst of it all. Aren't you glad of that? Woo, but here I am, thank God. Amen. That's right. We can get sick, God knows how to comfort us. We can get in a financial dilemma, God knows how to comfort us. We have a broken heart, God can pour in the balm of Gilead. I'm telling you, God's able to comfort His children in all the tribulations wherewith we are comforted in, that we may by those same, amen, tribulations comfort others as well. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. Now I see here I want somebody drunk my water. Praise God. I'm supposed to drink two glasses, Brother Joel. Now, I see not only the comfort that Elijah enjoys, but the prophet's rest. I want to mention a little bit about that. Look at verse 15 and 16. The Bible said, so she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did a cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So I see here, in that comfort, I see the prophet's rest. The meal and the oil were replenished every morning. Now I want you to get a hold of this. It was replenished every morning. Get this now. Every morning when they woke up, there was meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse. Now what do you do at night? Go to bed and rest, don't you? So while they were resting, God was at work. Boy, you get a hold of that after a while. While they were asleep and resting, God was at work. Amen. Every morning when they got up, there was enough meal in that barrel and enough oil in that cruse to take care of the whole outfit. And God put it there while they were laying in bed at night asleep. I'm telling you that we can rest in the arms of God. Hey, God will do the work for us. When Israel come to that Red Sea, Moses didn't say, get some buckets, boys, and start bailing. Right. No, sir, he said, behold, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When those disciples got in that boat and headed out toward, across that sea and got in that storm and the ship began to fill up with water, amen, when the Lord walked by, he didn't say, get you some buckets, boys, start dipping around. He didn't say that, no. The Lord took care of it. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying that while, hey, we can rest in the Lord, and while, hey, God will take care of the work for us. Our problem, and I say this so much, but our problem today is we're trying to take care of our own problems. Let God handle them. Hey, find you a closet of prayer and pray and let God take care of your problems. And I'm telling you on the authority of that book, if God doesn't do it, you've made God a liar. And God's not a liar. He said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Amen. God is true. But I'll tell you, he'll take care of your problems too. Amen. Now, amen. Psalm 3 verse 5 said, I laid me down to sleep. I wait for the Lord sustain me. That is, the Lord took care of me while I rested. And I'm telling you, we can just rest in Him. But I mean, we just need to lay back and relax and not worry. If God don't get it done, folks, it's not going to get done. Oh, we're servants. I'm not saying that we oughtn't to be busy about God's work. Don't misunderstand me. We ought to be busy about God's work, and we're servants. But I'm going to tell you, God's the one who's going to take care of things. God's the one who's going to do the work, not us. Now notice not only His rest, but His replenishment. Before they had time to get up in the morning, there was meal and oil there for them to eat on. In fact, before they could even get up in the morning and say, give us this day our daily bread, amen, it was already supplied. Amen. Thank God for you. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God answered their prayers before they ever prayed them. God provided them food before they ever had to bless it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That ought to make us get excited this morning, folks. Amen. They didn't have to get up and pray down the food. I'm telling you, before they could get up and say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We need something to eat. It was already there on the table for them. God already supplied it. What a great God we have. He replenished it from day to day. Now, I'm telling you, hey, we don't live from month to month and year to year. We live from day to day. The manna in the wilderness was good for one day.
Amen. And if they kept it longer, it rotted. Our problem is we want to hang on to something that rots. When it rots, it starts to stink. Amen. One day at a time, ladies and gentlemen. God will replenish you one day. Oh, somebody said, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, God will give you enough grace. God will give you enough grace in your troubled life. One day at a time is all. Not a week at a time, one day at a time. Our problem is we won't look down the road in the world too far instead of looking up to heaven. We'll look up to heaven and keep our eyes on God. He'll handle it one day at a time for us. Amen. Every morning they got up, they didn't even have to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. By the way, that's part of the model prayer. That's part of the model prayer. That's right, ain't it? Amen. Now, it was already supplied. Now, we're not told that the meal was carried to the widow's house in bags. Neither did the oil in the cruse overflow. But it was supplied day by day as needed. And I'm going to show you why. Oh, we've got such a wise God. Sometimes we think the Lord is ignorant. But we've got a wise God. Now I want to show you something. Do you remember the little boy in the book of John's Gospel, that had the five barley loaves, and the two small fishes? And the Lord told him, said, go buy some food to eat. And I think it was Philip said, well, so many penny worth of money wouldn't buy enough food to feed this crowd. He said, but there's a little boy here. He's got two barley loaves and five fishes. And the little boy gave that unto the Lord. And he said, I believe, what, 5,000 down? Now, it may have been plus women and children, but I know there was at least 5,000. And he set them down in the grass and gave to the disciples, blessed it, and gave to the disciples, and they fed them. And every one of them ate.
Amen.
All of them, the whole crowd. But, buddy, here's the thought on that. Here's the thought on that. The Lord said, hey, go around now and pick up all the fragments that nothing be lost. Now, if you can get a hold of that, I'm telling you, God's not going to give you more than you need. God will not give you less than you need. God will give you exactly what you need. Hallelujah. That nothing be lost. What a great God we have. Amen. That nothing be left, nothing be lost. Go around and get those baskets. God makes use of everything that He gives, and that's right, and everything that He gives us, He makes use of that. Somebody say amen right there. When they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, although Elijah was able to shout for joy over God's rest and replenishment of his body, soul, and spirit, listen carefully now, he still must remain careful and watchful while in the furnace of affliction. Listen to me now. Somebody's going to think, now, Brother Hall's done turned backwards. No, I turned backwards. But I'm telling you, too much joy. While we're in comfort in that furnace of affliction may not be good for us. It may cause some real problems. I say, hey, I'm glad, Brother Herford, that I can rejoice in the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, just shouting it out all the time is not good for us. Just having that good time thing all the time is not good for us. I mean, I'll shout and shout at the drop of a hat. If you ain't got the hat, I'll drop my own. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you, too much joy in that furnace of affliction can cause just a little bit of problem on our part. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Elijah was in a delightful situation. But it is not usually good that a man's life continue to flow in the same easy direction and manner, because a long state of prosperity may lead his nature to become presumptuous and forgetful of his own spiritual poverty. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, God makes it easy on us all the time. Even in that furnace of affliction, God makes it easy on us all the time. We'll get the idea. Well, praise God, this thing's easy. And I'm going to tell you what we'll do. We'll let down our guard. Hey, we'll quit watching. We'll quit being cautious. We'll stop being careful. And so, hey, while we're in that situation, brother, we better take heed to what's going on around us while we're in joy, while we're having that joy. If we're not careful, we'll begin to presume upon God. Somebody said, what are you talking about presume? We'll begin to get the idea that God owes us something. God doesn't owe us a thing. If we'll ever open up our blinded eyes, we'll realize that what's happening here is all of grace.
Amen.
Oh, all of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Thank God for the grace of God. I'm telling you, it's all of grace. And if we get too careful, if we're not careful, we'll get presumptuous on God and begin to presume upon Him that He owes us something.
And then
not only that, but we'll get forgetful of our own spiritual poverty. Well, I'm a giant, boy. Look what God's done for me. Praise God. God gave me, wrote this in for me. God answered that prayer. God done this. And we'll begin to boast. We'll tell everybody else about what God's done, boy. What God's done for me. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm on cloud nine. Floating on cloud nine. And you know what you don't realize? What a lot of preachers don't realize, that while they're floating on cloud nine, because of what God may have done for them, or what lies they may be telling that God done for them, supposedly, they're in front of a lot of people that's sitting there that God ain't done all that for. They're sitting in front of people that's got heartache and hurt and problems and troubles that's bothering them. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you, and they'll forget their own spiritual poverty. Brother, I'm telling you, when we get the idea that we're spiritually arrived and we're spiritually rich and we have need of nothing, you know where we are? We're in the Laodicean church, friend. That is not a good place for anybody to be in the day we're living in. Why? We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. What do we need? I've got everything that I need. I've got a bank account and an automobile and a house to live and clothes on my back. We realize that we don't realize that we're naked and poor and wretched and blind and still have need of God in our life. We may be physically rich, but spiritually poor. And we better be careful. Elijah needed to be careful in this situation. Amen. Now, notice with me. Perpetual quietude can serve to nourish a false spirit of independence. We may get the idea that we no longer need God. Now, there's times to be in a quiet place with God. We got to take time to be there. But I'm going to tell you, are you listening to me now? It took both Mary and Martha. Martha served. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and learned. And I learned a long time ago that Mary and Martha make up one person. They bring up the student of the Word of God. They bring up the server as well as servant. Amen. Now I'm here to tell you what I'm saying is, we stay in that quiet place and that's all we want to do is lay back on our hind ends in the quiet place and tell everybody, oh, I've been in the holy place all morning. I have been to camp meetings. And preachers come dragging in a camp meeting, supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. They come dragging in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And somebody asks them, well, where you been? Oh, I've been in that holy place today. There ain't nobody been in no holy place 5 hours that I know of in this generation. I don't know anybody could stay there that long. I don't know anybody that can stay in the presence of all the power of God for 5 hours, not in the generation we're living in. Not in all of His glory.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They've done got lazy on God. Oh, I'm in this quiet place, and they're sitting there reading. They're reading their Bible, and that's all they're doing is reading the Bible, and they think that's spiritual. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's one thing to read the Bible, but it's another thing to read it and take what we read to heart and practice what we learn. There ain't a lot of people practicing what they learn. And if we're not careful, that laying back like that in that quiet place, I'm telling you what it'll do. It will nourish a false spirit of independence. We'll get the idea we don't need nothing.
Right.
Here I am, buddy. I mean, I'm where I'm supposed to be in a quiet place. Well, let me ask you something. Who's supposed to be out in the field?
Amen. That's right.
Who's supposed to be in the vineyard? Who's supposed to be sowing the Word of God? Or who's supposed to be in the vineyard? Who's supposed to be taking care of God's work out there?
Amen.
Amen. It's not just, hey, in the holy place it needs prayer, but I'm going to tell you, you better go to the holy place and pray, then put some feet on them prayers. Amen. And get out to where something needs to be done. It's like that little, like this little black woman. There's a church in town. They built a beer joint right beside of it. And that church prayed and prayed and prayed for years. Had God do something and move that little old church. Well, they had a little black lady come join the church. She prayed with them in their prayer meeting maybe 2 or 3 weeks. They came and woke up one Saturday night late and noticed that the beer tavern, the flop house, was burning down. They come to church the next morning. The preacher said, I want to thank God that God's finally answered some prayers and burnt that building down. That little black woman raised her hand and said, God didn't burn that building down. Said, I did. That preacher said, well, why in the world did you burn it down? She said, because I put some feet on your prayers. And the saying of that is, you ain't going to get nothing done until you put some feet on the prayers you're praying.
Right.
You're praying for somebody to be saved. Go see them.
Amen.
You're praying for somebody that needs some encouragement. Go talk to them.
Amen.
Put your arm around them. Let them know you love them a little bit. Amen. Come on in the house, Brother Hall. I won't say long seasons of rest and musings can also leave us open to self-complacency. We may not need everything, we don't need everything handed to us on a golden platter. People, they got that idea. I'm telling you, we're raising up a generation of young people. Bless their cotton, pea-picking hearts. They think everything ought to be handed to them on a silver platter. And I'm going to say this, and I hope it don't offend nobody. If it does, you'll just have to get offended. But I'm going to tell you one of the sorriest things that's happening all across America is that kids are going off to school, and the state or the country is paying for their education. What on heaven's name ever happened to the old-fashioned way that you paid, got a job, and paid your way through, or you didn't go through? If you get a job and pay your way through, amen, that'll let somebody know that you wanted to go through.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, when I went through Bible college, you know how I got through? I got a job making minimum wage and worked 5 days a week and went to school 4 nights a week and the prayer meeting 1 night a week and church 1 night a week. And Saturday I spent with my nose in the books. Amen. And five got up Monday morning, went back to work, and worked my way through. And I'm proud of that little piece of paper I got back there.
Amen.
Amen. It's like the singing governor says. He had to sing songs and do a lot of things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Now they don't do that. The federal government wants to stick their stinking nose into everything.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, if they got it in education, you hear me one of them? If they're paying for your education, they'll tell you what to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They'll tell you what to do, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
You better believe they will.
Yes, sir.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
I said amen. That's right. Now, we don't want to, but God knows how to pour us from one vessel to another, lest we become settled on our leaves. He can lift us up, and He can bring us low. He can supply abundantly, or He can bring us into poverty. In other words, God knows how to keep us balanced out. He can bless us and lift us up. He can let us down and let us go low. God knows exactly what we need. Now, I'm going to tell you, He's not going to give us too much. He's not going to give us too little. God's going to give us exactly what we need, ladies and gentlemen, to get by in this life. Now, I'm trying to finish. I'm trying to read this to you and get by on record time. But the Lord, listen now, the Lord knows how to uphold our faith. There may be times when we doubt. There may be times when we droop. But I'm telling you, we'll never despair and we'll never perish. God will take care of us. Somebody said, you ever droop? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Been a lot of times that I've had my lips low that I stepped on it. I got I was dragging my tongue like this morning. I said, Lord, I've got a lesion there. I had one up here. I said, now I've got a lesion here. I said, what in the world is wrong with my lip? God said, it's been so low lately, you've been walking on it. God help us.
Amen.
To get so low that we don't walk on that lower lip. God, hey, God not let us perish. He said He wouldn't. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him ought to wring their hands and worry themselves sick about everything. Because they might just perish. No, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not perish. But should not perish. Oh, I love that little word. B-U-T. I love that little word. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
What'd God say over here? I like this one too. I'll just turn over and read it to you. I kind of like them little words, them little B-U-T words in the Bible. Let me just turn over if I can find it and read this one for you. Oh, Lord, help me. I just forgot where it was at. No, I didn't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen to what God's got to say here. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God! But God, who is rich in mercy! But God, who is rich in mercy! With His great love, wherewith He loved us! Oh, yes, wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, God loved us. Wow, can you get a hold of that? If God loved you when you were dead in your sins, when you were a trespasser against the law, a trespasser against the Word of God, if God loved you when you ought to be in hell, can you imagine how much love God has for you now that you're a child of God? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, back to the thought about that grouping and doubting and despairing. I want to read this verse for you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, passages. In Proverbs chapter number 30, in verse number 7, the writer said, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. He said, don't give me so much, I'll deny you. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happened to people in America. Amen. We used to love God in old time camp meetings and old time service and church houses filled up on Sunday morning, Sunday night. You could have a revival meeting and it filled up every night. They'd hang, I can remember at Underwood, that little Methodist church, they'd hang their head through the windows outside. They'd raise the windows. Didn't have any air in there. They'd raise the windows and folks would hang their head just to hear somebody preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, he said, hey, remove far from me vanity. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take thy name of my God in vain. In other words, give me enough, Lord, to take care of me, but don't give me so much that I'll get proud about it. Just supply my need day by day. Just give me enough meal. Just give me enough oil to make that little cake every day. And Lord, thank you for having it on the table every morning. Being there before I ever have to get up and say, give me this day my daily bread. Thank God it's already there. You don't have to ask God for the daily bread. Just thank Him that it's already there. Just thought about that. Hallelujah to God. You don't have to ask Him for it. Just thank Him for it. It's already there. Amen. Thank God I can get up every morning and thank Him for that bacon. There. They got him cackleberries. Amen. Toast. Mammy sopping. If you don't know what that is, that's gravy. Amen. That's right. I'm just about done now. But a change of great magnitude awaits this peaceful little family at Zarephath. And the reason is known only to the Lord. God sometimes keeps things secret. I don't think even Elijah knew what was about to happen. Elijah went down there thinking that woman was going to sustain him till he got there. And he realized she didn't have enough to sustain herself, much less him. But he believed God that God was going to do it. And God done it. Unexpectedly, in the midst of a wonderful blessing, a great cloud darkened this little home. And the widow's only son suddenly falls sick and dies. Here is Elijah living in comfort. They're being fed every day. He's happy. The woman's happy. The little boy's happy. And suddenly the little boy dies. Surely, this surely affected the widow in a very grievous way. This portion of the story was never mentioned to Elijah. He's about to find his real purpose. Can you get a hold of this now? Elijah is about to find his real purpose for being at Zarephath. And it wasn't to be fed. It was because the feeder had a boy that suddenly died. And God had to have a man. God had to have a man on the scene for that woman. Amen. He wasn't there for his sake. He was there for her sake, thank God. Amen, Brother Hall. I know that's right. That is right. Now, this portion of the story was never mentioned to Elijah. He's about to find the real purpose for being in Zarephath. Elijah is not in the iron furnace. He's not in the furnace of affliction. The widow is. Amen. Suddenly her boy dies. Now who do you think's in the affliction? Elijah? Has obeyed God to go to the brook, obeyed God to leave the brook, obeyed God to come to Zarephath, went right to the gate of the city where the woman was at and stayed there knowing all she had was enough meal to make two cakes. And yet he stayed there. Who do you think was in need? Elijah or the woman? I say the woman. Amen. There may be somebody in here this morning that's in that same need. Your all is just about gone, spiritually speaking. And your meal, your barrel is just about empty. And it may not be enough oil left to make one cake, much less two. But you need to remember, hey, and we're going to find out tonight exactly how God solved this problem. Hey, and brought things out at the close that was for their good and the glory of God. What a wonderful God that we have. He always makes things turn out for His children now, for their good and God's glory. Is your all, your little cruise about going today? Is the meal in your barrel? Is it just about empty? I'm going to tell you, God won't fill it up, but I'll tell you what He will do. He'll supply it every day. Day by day, He'll give you enough grace, enough faith to keep right on serving God. Let's stand together.